19, Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to spend some time tonight teaching the Word of God. I want to teach something that we've taught here before. I'm going to go over the seven lies the Sodomites need you to believe. But I want to address that and use that as an introduction to address. And I guess if I had a name for the message tonight, it would be exposing the hate crime bill, exposing the hate crime bill. And I want to have our folks have an understanding on it. One of the things that's important is to be able to know, to have a ready answer when people bring up these things, because it's going to come up in conversation in the workplace. And a lot of the folks only know about it what the media feeds them. And so, how can you be against hate? I mean, hate crime bill. And that's what they do. They address things or label things a certain way so that it seems like it would be wrong to even oppose it. And so we're going to expose it tonight and help you to understand what's going on and what you can do about it. And I do have some good news to report. The battle's not over yet, but we had a real, real miracle today that happened up in the State House. And so I'll talk to you a little bit about that. But believe me, the devil doesn't give up easy, and neither do liberals, amen? Maybe because they're on the same team, I don't know. But Genesis chapter number 19, verse number 1, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Genesis 19 and verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night. Wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, dear God. It's important from time to time that a preacher stand up and remind us of what the Bible says about a sin that is becoming more and more accepted, more and more embraced, more and more allowed for in this country, and yet the Word of God has not changed. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, that we would stay firm in our beliefs, stay firm in our Bible convictions, and Lord, to stand against, Lord, this sin that is has crept in and has now become what may be the very thing that causes the destruction of our nation, Lord. I want to pray for the Christians that are up in the State House, Lord. I want to pray for those representatives, Lord, for the senators that are born-again believers. I want to pray, dear God, that you give them the courage of their convictions, dear God. And Lord, may they stand, and Lord, against this wickedness in our land. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And look, folks, I know this is Missions Emphasis Month, and my intent was to spend every service focused on that subject, but I really feel like with what's transpiring in our state again this spring, we needed to take some time and give you information and remind us all that there's some things that we must stand for, we must fight for, and we can't decide, well, you know what, let's just throw in the towel, give it up, give in, we've lost. Because we haven't.
I'm proud to say this. I mean, I'm proud to say that I live in a state, one of only five that's left, that hasn't given in to the political pressure and the political correctness to pass something that is a complete Trojan horse, a completely unnecessary idea, and that is a hate crime bill. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that and what it is and explain it a little bit more in depth. But folks, let me just get down to what this thing is really about. What this bill is really about is an advancement of the sodomite lifestyle and an attempt to them to not just have equal rights but super rights, while the rest of us are delegated to just normal rights. It's an attempt to equate their perversion. You say, well, preacher, the bill also is written in such a way to protect against crimes that were based on race or religion or sexual orientation. Listen to me. Listen to what you just said. If we put on a document and list that equal with race and equal with religion, then we have just elevated a sin to the same status that our forefathers saw religion and built into protections that are in the First Amendment. Those three should never be on the same line together. Okay, they say, well, we are included these also. Listen, that's not a comfort to me. That's an affront, an insult. It should be an insult to every person of any race. It should be an insult to those that want to, every woman, that they want to equate the battle for their rights to the same as the rights for women. It's an affront to be spoken in the same breath with protection of religion and freedom of religion. And so be careful that you don't fall into these traps, okay? What's the Bible say, preacher? I mean, you know, is this homosexuality really that big a deal? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, I know it used to be frowned upon, but I mean, you know, from what I'm reading, what I'm hearing, maybe it's time for us to just, you know, evolve. Maybe it's time for us to embrace a little bit of tolerance. Maybe it's time for us to back off a little bit. There's seven lies that the sodomites need you to believe in order for them to be able to advance their agenda. Let me just go through these quickly so that we can get to some information that I want to get to you. First of all, and by the way, the devil advances everything. He's a liar, the Bible says, and the father of all lies. And the only way that he can get us to accept something that the Bible condemns is to package it with a bunch of lies. And by the way, the media, they are willing servants of the radical homosexual and transgender agendas. And so there's lies that they're going to help them try to propagate. Number one, the Bible does not really condemn homosexuality. They'll say, now the Bible doesn't really condemn that. And you'll have people that are supposedly clergy that have said the Bible really doesn't condemn homosexuality. The last time that we faced this fight, 120 so-called clergy, 120 so-called clergy showed up to the State House to present our governor a petition that they had signed encouraging him to and the people of Indiana to embrace the sodomite lifestyle. Clergy. By the way, I chased that list down. I found out who they were. You know what? You can get ordination papers at the bottom of a Cracker Jack box nowadays, all right? Most of those people were not pastoring anywhere. They just had went and got their papers and decided that they were a clergy. So that's why I don't have a clergy sticker on my car or a clergy bumper sticker. I don't find that word in the Bible anyway. But the Bible does not really condemn homosexuality. I've heard that from some people that say they're preachers. Well, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus 20:13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And so homosexuality is labeled in the Bible as an abomination against God. Homosexuality is soundly condemned as wicked, grievous, and exceedingly sinful. Genesis 13:13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. It is a sin that cries out for God, out to God for judgment. Genesis 18:21-22. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. It's called a very grievous sin in Genesis 18:20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, Lot, who was even a backslider, stood before the door of his house and said, do not so wickedly. And so the Bible does condemn the sin of homosexuality or the sin of sodomy as grievous and wicked and exceedingly sinful. God also has poured out divine, the Bible tells us God has also poured out divine judgment upon this sin. He erased cities from existence because of the sin of sodomy or the sin of homosexuality, Genesis 19:1-5, and then Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Toleration of sodomy by the nation of Israel is listed as one of the reasons Israel and Judah were defeated by heathen kings and taken into captivity. And America better listen. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. In the Bible, homosexuality is labeled as the last stop on the road to becoming a reprobate. In Romans chapter 1, it chronicles the sins that result in the destruction of a civilization. Homosexuality is the last stop a person or a nation makes on the reprobate road, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. By the way, as you go down through that list of sins, it's the last stop on the road to becoming a reprobate. After that, the only step that's left is judgment. Read the last chapter of Romans, chapter number 1. And so the lie number 1, the Bible does not really condemn homosexuality. You have to be ignorant or willingly ignorant to believe that. The truth is, the Bible is very pronounced on this, and it leaves no gray area for us. Lie number 2, some people are born homosexual. By the way, I did quite a bit of research on this because there was an article that came out here several years ago claiming to have, a group of scientists claimed to have discovered or found what they called the gay gene or the homosexual gene. And they wanted to say, see, there is proof in our DNA that certain people have a certain gene, and so some people are born homosexuals. Now, the reason, I don't know how many of you heard that or remember that being reported, anybody, a few of you. Let me say this, folks. I've researched that thing and looked at that thing, and even pro-homosexual papers and pro-homosexual newspapers has condemned that as absolutely bogus science. They know that it's indefensible. It is a lie that they have suddenly proved that some people are born homosexual. It is a lie. Do your research. It's a lie. And so that's not just Christians that are coming out and saying that. That's scientific research that says that simply is an overstatement of what they found. Now, some people are born homosexual. Preacher, what's the truth? The truth is we're all born sinners. Let's just stop right there. We're all born sinners. So if we're all born sinners, then it's okay just to wallow in the sin, right? Okay, by the way, I do believe that some people have, I believe everybody, the Bible says, has a besetting sin. Could it be that in some people's life, the temptation of homosexuality is the besetting sin? Well, does that mean then that they should give in to it just like my besetting sin might be to murder people? Well, I'm born a sinner, and that's where I really struggle. Sometimes I just want to. So I should just give in to it. We are all born sinners. Thank God for that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Because of what Jesus did, we can receive forgiveness and deliverance from our sins. Here's another truth underneath that. Voluntary sexual activity is a human choice. If a man engages in a sodomite lifestyle, he or she does so by choice, not because they're born to do it. Line number three, Jesus taught us to love and accept everyone for who they are. What is the truth? No. Jesus commanded us to preach the gospel so that men have the opportunity to be delivered from darkness. Ephesians 5, verse 3 through 16. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Bible goes on to say that we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Doesn't sound like we're supposed to tolerate. Sounds like we're supposed to stand up and say something about it. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So the Bible does not say to tolerate. The Bible says stand up and reprove it. Call it for what it is. Anybody claims to be saved and have given themselves over to the sodomite lifestyle, the Bible gives this judgment upon them. No whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Don't justify this sin in a member of your family. Get on your knees and begin to pray for the salvation of that member of that family, okay? Because the Bible doesn't mince any words about this. Line number four, legalizing homosexual marriage doesn't adversely affect anyone. Christians need to learn tolerance. We need to just learn to peacefully coexist. What is the truth, preacher? Christianity and the sodomites are diametrically opposed. The two belief systems cannot peacefully coexist. Militant homosexuality has as its goal the destruction of Bible Christianity. There's a reason I read Genesis chapter 19. Excuse me, folks. It wasn't Lot that was beating down the door of his sodomite neighbor. It was the sodomite that was beating down the door of Lot's house. And the problem with this sin is that, folks, listen to me. Once you get involved in this sin, there comes with it a hatred of anything that is normal. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, why can't we just get along? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Lie number five, the Sodomites fight is a civil rights issue, just like that was fought by the Negroes and women. What is the truth? That's the lie. What's the truth? To equate sexual perversion with race is insulting to our African American and the American Indians and all other races. It's an insult to women to equate sexual perversion to their gender. This goes back to their need to convince you that they are born a homosexual. What is the truth? Sexual conduct is a choice. Being born a specific gender or specific race is not a choice, but choosing sexual perversion is a choice. Lie number six, anyone who is against homosexuality is a bigot, full of hate, and homophobic. All right, what's the truth? The truth is, when you cannot win an argument based on fact or what's right, you call people names. To believe what the Bible says about homosexuality does not make one a bigot or a hater or a homophobe. Homophobic means that you're scared, okay? If you're claustrophobic, you're scared of tight places, you know? If you're homophobic, you're scared of homosexuality. We're not scared of homosexuality. Matter of fact, we love the person, but we hate the sin. The greatest act of love is to tell somebody the truth about their sin so that they have a chance to see it in the light of the Scriptures, turn to a Savior who's willing to forgive them of their sin and deliver them from that sin. Woe unto them that call good evil, Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So it used to be that this sin was condemned, and now it is being tolerated and even embraced, and people who stand about against it are now the evil people. Okay? It used to be that if you had a Bible stance on this, that was good. If you were involved in this sin, that was evil. Now they are calling good evil and evil good, and the Bible says, woe unto them. Lie number 7, there are different definitions of a family, and as long as people love one another, it shouldn't matter. What's the truth? God created man, God created woman, God defined the family. The militant homosexual agenda includes the destruction of the biblical family. The Bible definition of a family is one man married to one woman for life. And that's the lies, and I kind of rushed through it, but those are the answers to those lies. And so we've seen what the Bible says about homosexuality. I'll pass that over. I made available, and you can still get them at the back. There's some left, but there's a blue piece of paper back there on the information desk, and it's put out by the American Family Association, possible talking points on bias crimes legislation for calls to action. And I want to go through this, and I won't stay on most of it. There's 10 things here, and you can read it. But I have been asked by several people in the church, preacher, if you could just take a few minutes, we can read it, but if you take a few minutes and break it down so that we have answers to this. So I want to take a few minutes and do that. That brings us to the hate crime bill. Preacher, why in the world did you go through all of that? Because even as this thing was making its way through the Senate in the last 2 days, what transpired in the Senate will tell you exactly what the real goal is for these hate crime laws. And what happened today, which we would consider a victory, has infuriated our governor. Shame on him. Shame on him. Shame on him. He should not serve as another term as governor of Indiana. Shame on him. He's a completely caved and given in to political correctness, and he's become a puppet of the radical homosexual and militant transgender armies. Okay, now stay with me here. Well, what's wrong with hate crime? First of all, hate crime laws are not necessary in Indiana. There's no evidence that such crimes are not being adequately prosecuted or sentenced now. Judges in Indiana already have the ability to enhance a sentence for any victim if they deem it needful or helpful. Folks, when a person stands before a judge and he's convicted of a crime, that judge has leeway as far as what he can decide the sentencing should be. There is something called sentencing guidelines, and that is where what is usually assigned to that crime, and even that is not specific. It has a width and a breadth to it. If he feels like the circumstances is such that he could be a little bit lenient in this window, then that's fine. If he feels like the circumstances are grievous and he wants to go to the high end of that window, he can. But by the way, folks, those are simply guidelines. A judge can even go outside of the suggested sentence. He has that right anyway. This has nothing to do with the fact that these crimes, if they're committed against certain people, that judges do not already have discretionary ability to assign a harsher sentence if the circumstances deems it such. That's already in place. We don't need this. This does nothing to add to that. It's already in place. Number 2, hate crime incidents make up a very small percentage of crimes in Indiana. 2016, there were 76 hate crime incidents reported in Indiana, which is only 0.0002% of the 384,382 crimes in the state that year. And doesn't every Hoosier victim of these 384,382 crimes deserve the political and media attention too? We're going to get to this, folks, but one of the things that's so grievous against this is this. All of a sudden, we're creating what we call a politically appointed, politically accepted, politically enhanced victims. We're taking a victim pool and saying, if you're a part of these people and the same crime happens to you as happens to somebody outside of this, then you automatically get a larger sentence. And we're going to deal with that in just a minute. But folks, that violates equal justice under the law, which is a cornerstone in our judicial system and a cornerstone in our country. Don't forget that phrase. I'll be repeating it. There's number three, there's no evidence that hate crime laws are a deterrent to crime. Top 15 states with the highest rates of crime, hate crimes, all have long-standing hate crime laws like the one called for by the media and Governor Holcomb. Why would we mimic their failed policies when Indiana ranks near the bottom of states in hate crime incidents? Number four, hate crime proposals are political statements, not legal necessities. Boy, this hits the nail on the head. Hate crime proposals are political statements, not legal necessities. For more than a decade, Indiana judges have had the ability to enhance a sentence for any victim of a hate crime. This is a media-driven issue, not a deficit in Indiana law. Number five, hate crime legislation actually limits the ability of Indiana judges to sentence criminals. Hate crime legislation proposed in Indiana General Assembly includes a list of politically favored victims. I like that phrase there. Politically favored victims. Create a preferred list of enhancements actually reduces the incentives for judges to enhance a sentence involving any victim targeted due to excessive circumstance. And so here's the problem. Suppose that one of the same crime happens to somebody that's not in this politically favored victim group. Well, now if this judge sees it and raises it into that arena, he's getting into a new area that now he's uncomfortable with because it really wasn't a hate crime, so I don't want to go that. Wait a minute. There shouldn't be different classes of victims, okay? One of the things you read in this paper, if you read it, was, I thought it was brilliant, where it says that why should a physical assault against a healthy 35-year-old homosexual male carry a significantly stronger sentence than a physical assault against an 80-year-old heterosexual grandmother under Indiana law? I mean, why? Why should that? And by the way, both of them are despicable, and if they both happen, it's a crime, and by the way, they both ought to be punished for it. But why in the world should we say, well, this person deserves a worse sentence because this guy was a homosexual, when this grandmother, who's more defenseless and should be cared for according to the scriptures and watched over more than the average person should be, then what are we doing? And so that was well stated there. Okay, number five, let's see, do we do that? Yes, number six, hate crime legislation punishes thoughts, not just actions. Advocates of hate crime laws deny this because some of these proposals only authorize prosecution of someone who causes bodily injury or property damage, but such acts are already crimes under Indiana law. What converts the acts targeted by these bills into a new crime are the thoughts or opinions of the perpetrator. And by the way, who knows his thoughts or opinions but he alone? In America, we have always punished people for what they do, not what we thought they thought. Okay? Number seven, hate crime laws violates the equal justice under the law. This is really the thing that we need to keep beating the drum on, equal justice under the law. Concept is inscribed in stone in the U.S. Supreme Court building by protecting some victims more than others. And that, so the hate crimes law violates that. Do we know Do we somehow care less about a victim who is violently assaulted because of a random robbery or a personal dispute than we do about a victim who was assaulted because they fit in a list of politically protected categories? Number 8, creating a list of politically favored classes of victims in hate crime statutes will always leave off other victims of the same crime. Now, this is going to bring me to what I want to report to you is when they were pushing this through the Senate today, and Bruce Borders actually called me as he was heading up to the State House, and his very words were, Pastor Ross, we need a miracle. They have stripped this down and taken everybody that was on that list off of it except those that are involved in sexual perversion. By the way, folks, policemen were on that list. Law enforcement was on that list. So that we could say if somebody, and by the way, is there some egregious crimes being committed right now in America because people hate law enforcement? Yes, absolutely. They took them off. They stripped it down to just what they really wanted the whole time. Okay, well, here's the good news. We did have a Republican senator. He proposed an amendment on the Senate floor to take all of the lists. No list is on that anymore. In other words, it's not if you commit a crime against these people, these people, these people, these people, these. Everything's off there. There is no list, no description of anything. It basically says that if any crime is committed against anyone where bias can be proven, then that will be taken in consideration by the judge when he does the sentencing. He's allowed to do that. By the way, which is already on the laws. The Republican senator that argued for that amendment to be passed and attached to that and have it change the wording on it said this: the minute we list one group, then what we're saying is that everybody else that's not on that list are secondary citizens not deserving of equal justice under the law. And what he proposed was 100% right. 100% right. And they had the vote, and the Republicans overwhelmingly voted that amendment in, stripped that language completely out of it, and changed the bill so that when it goes to vote either tomorrow or Friday, it will have no listing of any group on there, but generally just a restatement of what we already have on the law. And the Democrats were furious. As soon as that vote was taken and that was taken off, they stood up. Folks, listen, this isn't something that you read in the paper. This is something you get if you're talking to somebody that was in the room watching it happen. They all stood up. This was one of the first things that come on the agenda yesterday. I think that's actually all happened yesterday, not today. Yesterday, they all stood up. They start screaming and calling the Republican side of the floor homophobics, bigots, racist. And they all marched out and refused to do any more of our business, of the people's business, for the rest of the day because they didn't get their way. Amen. I think we should have just went on without them. We probably could have got some things done that needed to be done. And by the way, there were 7 Republicans that voted with the Democrats to not strip these groups on there. And Eric Bassler, our state senator, was one of them that voted with the Democrats not to strip that off. And you know what? I wanted to report that to you. Because he's going not just against what Jerry Ross said, he's going against the Word of God. He's going against the Scriptures. And so that's what this is saying. Creating a list of politically favored victims, classes of victims in hate crime statutes will always leave off other victims of the same crime. Now, let me make this very plain. If they wanted to pass a piece of legislation and they put in there, we are going to pass legislation and we're going to make it a hate crime if anybody attacks a Baptist preacher who is preaching against homosexuality, I would tell my representative, you don't vote for that. Because that wouldn't be equal justice under the law. I don't care what group it is. Okay, the minute you take any group of people and say, if you do something against them, it's a far greater crime and holding a greater sentence than if you do it against a 90-year-old grandmother walking down the road, then we got problems. problems, okay? And that's one of the things we've got, we've stood for in this country for all these years. This hate crime victims list is nothing more than a politically correct, feel-good legislation that allows, and it's the caving in of, did Brother Moore tell us, 1.5% of our nation's population? And they're running this country and scaring politicians and causing preachers to shut up, and I don't get it. But we need to lift up our voice like a trumpet, and we need to speak the truth. Number 9, bias crime legislation shows contempt for the moral and religious views of millions of Hoosiers by including sexual orientation, gender identity as protected categories. By distinguishing between an ordinary crime and a so-called hate crime, solely on the basis of the perpetrator's disapproval of homosexual conduct or sex changes, the bill sends a message that such disapproval alone, even if expressed peacefully and lovingly, constitutes a form of hate that is equivalent to racial bigotry. That's why it's dangerous to list that with the races and the religion. They put that in there as if they thought that was going to pacify us. Well, preacher, they're protecting us too. No, they've just elevated something equal to your religious freedom. That is dangerous. It's an insult to many compassionate individuals of all races who sincerely object to such conduct, not only based on religious and moral boundaries that are thousands of years old, but also based on well-founded concerns about the serious medical and psychological risks of such behavior. Number 10, hate crime legislation sets Indiana on a slippery slope toward the infringement of the freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And folks, this is where all this is going. In some states that have adopted these laws, hate crimes have been defined to include not just violent physical acts, but also mere verbal activity as well. This occurs by using terms like hate speech, or they'll call it intimidation or a verbal assault. By endorsing the thought crimes mentality, these laws pave the way for future expansions of their scope. Christians have already been prosecuted under hate crime laws for peacefully expressing disapproval of homosexual behavior in Sweden, England, Canada, and even in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And so that's what we passed out to you. You ought to have this. It's going to come up from time to time, and you need to understand what the argument against it is. So this is the news article that I took off of the Indianapolis Star. Is it the Star? Indianapolis Star? Yeah, Indy Star. Indianapolis Star paper. Indiana Senate strips hate bill crimes, scrapping gender identity and other protected traits. And folks, I don't know, I'll read all this to you, but it's amazing what our media does not say, how much room they give to the people that oppose this and how much of the column is given to people to argue against. The Indiana Senate voted to amend the hate crime proposal Tuesday, scrapping from the bill all protected characteristics, including gender identity, race, and sexual orientation. The amendment to Senate Bill 12 removed the list of specific characteristics and added that judges can consider bias more generally as an aggravating circumstance when weighing a stricter sentence for crime, which they can do now. Governor Eric Holcomb said the amended bill, quote, does not get Indiana off the list of states without a bias crime law. That's what he's worried about. Okay, and by the way, the big argument is that we're going to suffer financially. Check it out, USA Today. End of last year, published an article identifying in order the most financially sound states, the most financially successful states, the states that businesses are finding the most success in and prosperity in. Indiana was number one on that list. Number one. So they're blowing smoke. What it is a couple big name companies have raised Cain about it, and our answer to them needs to be, if you have a problem with this, go somewhere else. Go to a liberal state where they tax you to death too. Why don't they want to go to New York? Why did you read what you read in the paper this week about what was the big company that pulled out of there? It was Amazon. Why don't they want to do that? It has nothing to do with where their moral stand is. It has nothing to do with the abortion thing they just passed, even though that is. You know what? If a state is liberal in its moral convictions, it's also liberal financially, and it is socialistic in its thought pattern, and it looks like a company like Amazon says, come on in here, but by the way, we're taking this, 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 and this, you're going to pay this, 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 and this, and you know what they'll say? I think we'll just swallow hard and go to Indiana, because you know what? We can make money. We can make money, money there, okay? And so we're doing fine. This is a joke. The idea that this is affecting our state financially is the biggest lie that's being put out there. And so I'm going to get that USA Today report, and I'll post it back there and make some copies so that you, when someone says that's not true, pull it out and say, we're doing fine. We're doing fine. We have a long way to go. This is Eric Holcomb speaking. We have a long way to go, being quoted. A lot of work to do, unfortunately, the time yet still to do it, by the way, which is where I'm going to caution you. I will continue to fight for the right ultimate outcome for our state and citizens this year as we're not right back here, so that we're not right back here in the same place next year. Now, what's going to happen? Okay, the Senate has now stricken all that language off and taken everybody off there, all the lists off there. Now it's going to pass probably either tomorrow or Friday. It'll probably pass. There is a chance that they'll vote it down, and then it'll just die. But if it passes, it goes over to the House side. Well, the House will take a look at it, and then it'll go through their process. And they can also amend it. And so don't think that the governor hasn't already twisted arms and have people in line going to try to get that wording back in there. But we have people also with amendments that are ready to go on the House side. Bruce Borders told me this morning, he said, I've got my staff working on 3 amendment presentations. If they're going to call something a hate crime, then anybody that kills an unborn baby, that is going to be an amendment that I'm going to propose to this bill. He said this, I'm also purposely proposing a separate bill calling it a hate crime if you commit adultery on your wife. And he said, he laughs, that's going to scare to death about half the politicians that are up here. I think it is an act of hate, sir, ma'am. I think it is an act of hate. Tell me you love your wife or love your husband, do something like that to them. That qualifies. I mean, if we're going to start putting a list together, maybe they ought to get the policeman back on there then, if they're going to, you know. But the thing about it is, again, I don't want anybody on the list. Okay, we either have a law for everybody or we have a law for nobody. But that's called equal justice under the law, okay? And so another bill that he has actually is a bill that would protect Christians and preachers that would preach against homosexuality, that if anybody committed something against them, that would also be called a hate bill. And I cautioned him, and I said, I know what you're trying to do to muddy the water, but I said, Bruce, the honest truth is we don't want anybody on that list. It needs to stay the way it is, either die or stay the way it is. And so that's what we're going to work towards, which is going to bring me to what I need you to do, and that's pray. Folks, listen to me. I really believe that as I prayed with Bruce this morning, and he's on the way up there, and we're asking God for a miracle, that there was a senator by the name, I think his last name is Friedman, and I'm going to get the specifics on him. Bruce is trying to find out. He said, I didn't even know this guy. Hey, I had no idea he was going to do this, but God moved it in his heart to step up and put this up, and the Republicans, I think, you know what? I really believe this. I believe our politicians are tired of being bullied by a very tiny minority of perverts. I think they're sick of it. I think they've had it. That's what I believe. And there's some things I can't quote and some things I can't say, but that Bruce was told in private. But that's the feeling. Why are we as a state falling down and bending our knee to this nonsense? This is not traditional Hoosier values. This is not traditional Hoosier common sense. It's ridiculous. And so I think more and more, honestly, the pendulum's swinging on this thing, and lawmakers are tired of standing before a bunch of perverts and saluting and saying, yes, sir, unless you've had a change lately. Yes, ma'am, whatever you are. We're going to go do your bidding. You know, at some point, we need Christian men, and even men who may not be Christian, but at least have decency and morality, to stand up as the leadership of this in this state and say, enough is enough. It's time to draw a line in the sand and say, not here, not here. And so we need you to pray. By Sunday, we'll see what happens with this. By Sunday, we'll know if it passes the Senate, it'll flip over into the House of Representatives, and that's a whole different list of phone calls and people that you need to call, and we'll have all that ready for you to go on Sunday so you can take it home. But folks, this stuff is working. I'm telling you, it's working. These men are getting sick of it and are standing up, I think, because of their moral character, but some of them are feeling the pressure of these phone calls, and they know Indiana people, for the most part, do not want this. Folks, this is outside of the state special interest groups that are putting the pressure. And it's not, again, reflective of who we are as Hoosiers. And so we'll point you in that direction. Pray for your preacher. I spent a couple hours on the computer today, and I did what I did the last time we fought this. I sent a letter to the editor to every major newspaper in the state of Indiana, about 15 different newspapers, and most of them have contacted me back. Most of them have to call and confirm that you're the one that sent it. So I've spoken to them. Most of them have agreed that this week they're going to put this letter to the editor in their paper. And this is what I wrote: hate crime law unnecessary and unfair. The so-called hate crime legislation, SB 12, is being sold as a protection against bias-motivated crime. Yet the legislation creates the very bias that it is supposed to oppose. By creating a list of politically favored victims, it violates equal justice under the law. Why should the physical assault of a healthy 35-year-old homosexual carry a significantly stronger sentence than the physical assault of a 90-year-old grandmother? Both are despicable crimes, and both would already be punished under our present Hoosier laws. Let's stop dancing around the issue and expose this bill for what it really is. This bill is another attempt by the militant homosexual and transgender radicals to attain super rights while the rest of us are delegated mere rights. It is an insult to the many compassionate Hoosiers of all races who, based on religious and moral boundaries that are thousands of years old, sincerely object to their lifestyle. If a victim-specific hate crime law is passed, it puts the militant homosexual and the transgender radicals one step closer to their ultimate goal of hate speech legislation designed to criminalize any Christian who voices Bible-based opposition to their way of life. Christians have already been prosecuted under hate crime laws for peacefully disproving of homosexual behavior in Sweden, England, and Canada. Let's stand against the political correct bullies, stand up for traditional Hoosier morality and common sense values. And you don't put that in there without putting your name in the city that you're from. I know what's going to happen because it happened the last time, and it probably will be more intense. But you know what, folks? I don't care. I don't care. I mean that with all my heart. It's time that we stood up to this nonsense. It's time somebody spoke the truth in a tsunami wave of lies. Somebody's got to stand up and shout the truth back. And so this is going to come out in our local newspaper. This will come out in the state, most of the state, larger city papers across our state. And so I can tell you that my wife won't be checking the answering machine for some time, and other precautions that we'll take. But you know what, folks, this is just, you know what? And by the way, these people, once they were struck by blindness in Genesis 19, wearied themselves to find the door. A man named Lot came out there and stood and tried to reason with them. He even offered them something he should have never offered them. Did they take it? Are they interested in a compromise? They're beating down the doors right now. They beat down the doors of our public schools and they're in there. They've already been let in. They beat down the doors of our universities and colleges a long time ago. It started there. They beat down the door of the preschool and the kindergarten. Some of you have kids and grandkids in. God help us. All right? The only doors that are left is the church door. They beat down the doors of the state house, and they beat down the doors of the Supreme Court, and they beat down the doors of every door in Washington, D.C. The only doors that are left is the door to our church and the door to our homes. Well, surely they're satisfied. They will never be satisfied until every door has been beaten down and they have full control of every situation. That's why this idea of tolerance. Did tolerance work for Lot? What ended up having to happen? A miracle. God stepped in. God stepped in and blinded their eyes. God finally stepped in and said, "You're out of here." And by the way, I think we're going to be out of here pretty soon. Then God said, "I'll just send judgment." And I've read the end of the story. There's 7 years of some horrific stuff waiting for this crowd. And if they don't get saved, there's an eternity in a devil's hell. Now, folks, listen to me. You know what? Stop backing up about this stuff. Don't get quiet when your preacher's preaching on this. Okay? Amen. Don't get quiet when I'm preaching on this stuff. Well, I used to preach this stuff 25 years ago, and man, people would be hanging from the chandeliers in independent fundamental Baptist churches. And now you can't even get a holy grunt. We can't get soft on this. This has nothing to do with hate. It has everything to do with love. Somebody that's involved in this sin needs to lovingly hear somebody. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Amen. You got to be willing to take a stand. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Lord, dark days are looming ahead. And the darker the night, the brighter the light. What an opportunity it gives us. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, in the midst of insanity and confusion, may we proclaim the pure words of God and take a stand for what is right. And Lord Jesus, I pray, dear Lord, that you give us not only our convictions, but the courage of our convictions. Now, Lord, I'm going to pray for Bruce Borders, and he's not by himself. Several other men up there and already behind the scenes, they're on their knees praying and plotting against this attack of the devil. Lord, I pray, dear God, you wouldn't let our governor sleep tonight. I pray, dear God, that such conviction would fall upon him that he would be like Belshazzar, that his knees smote together. Lord, I pray, dear God, there'd be such a lack of peace and, Lord, an unsettling in his heart, not just in his heart, but every single legislator up there that's trying to push this, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you take away any peace that they have. I pray that there'd be fear and trembling unleashed upon their heart and upon their soul, dear God. I pray as they walk into the state house tomorrow, no matter what they thought they were going to vote, I pray, dear God, the fear of God falls upon them, Lord. Lord, we just put this in your hand. You're wise and you know what to do. But I pray, Lord, that in a very public way, you would show yourself mighty upon our behalf, dear God. Thank you for what you did. I don't know this brother or this brother Friedman or Friedland or whatever his name is. Lord, I'm trying to get information about him. But thank God for him, dear God. One man stood up and said, "How about we do this?" And there was a lot of other good men just waiting for one man to stand. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, not to cave, not to give in. And bless those that are fighting for right. We pray these things in Jesus' name.